This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host this week, joined by Tom. How are you, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Back refreshed my holiday and back in the work, so here we go. But game week one of the Fantasy Football Scotland is back, so we'll need to talk about that. But housekeeping first, we will... The Kevin Van Veen Cup, the first leg of the first round was this week. I'm waiting for two scores. So the two guys I'm waiting for is... Yala Leopard, I believe, and the guy who's playing me, actually, his name is... Neil Dockery, 1873. I've texted you both. I will text you again. You've got till Thursday evening to get the scores to me, or it's a no score for first leg, which pretty much means you will be out, I'd imagine so. Right. We'll go to leagues first, go to our own league first, top three, then we'll do the mega league. So our league is the top three first game, so it's mega Elliott, top three is Stanzas. Finn's Fun Boys, 95 points. Jota Clue, that's Brian, 868, 84 points. And Jai Bez, 45, 84 points. So let's get to it on, Tom. What was your score this week and your overall rank?
So my score is 62 points and my overall rank is 3,016th. Looking at the team, I had Clark in goals for 6 points. Brown came on as a sub for 6. Captain Tav got 4. Stevenson won, and Suari got 1 as well. In midfield, I had O'Hara for 14, Spittle for 5, Josh Campbell for 1, and Abada for 5. And up front, I had Danilo for 1, and Vice, Kyogo Furuhashi, 18 points.
Okay. So myself this week, 64 points, and that gave me a rank of 2,161. Did we further do roughly know how many people have took part in this game?
Donnie said run about 13,000.
That was an estimate so far, but he's got to check when he's older. Yeah, that's quite good. That's a big uptake for last year. Anyway, my points for this week were Clark for 6 points, Brown off the bench for 6 points, used the bench trick, Captain Tav 4 points, Swar 1 point, Devlin 5, Miller midfield 2, Turnbull 14, Cantwell 1, Abada 5, Vice Captain Furuhashi 18, Lammers 2, and nothing on the bench. Like I said, my rank is 2,461, so a lot more playing this week. So I'm hoping to see these ranks improve as weeks go on. So, Tom, I will read the results. We'll go through them one at a time then, right? So we had early kickoff, Celtic 4, Ross County 2, and then we had St Johnstone 0, Hearts 2, Livingston 0, Aberdeen 0, Dundee 1, Motherwell 1, Kilmarnock 1, Rangers 0, and Hibernian 2, St Mirren 3 on the Sunday. So over to you.
Yep, so the first game of the weekend was a lunchtime kickoff on the Saturday. It was the champion Celtic 4, Ross County 2. Good game, plenty of goals. For Celtic, it was Turnbull that scored the first one with a penalty, which was won by Greg Taylor. Kyogo got the second goal with an assist from Abada. Turnbull again with the third with an assist from O'Reilly, and O'Reilly scored the fourth with an assist from Kyogo. Ross County bagged a couple of goals. Jordan White, who's been in about the goals the last few seasons. He scored the first for Ross County with an assist from Danda, and then defender James Brown got an assist from Dylan Smith. Ross County were obviously in the relegation playoffs last season, but you couldn't tell that based on the first 20 minutes of the game. I thought they played really well. particularly Simon Murray. I think he had a few chances. Probably could have had a hat trick at one point. Celtic, they have had a lot of defensive issues through the summer. Obviously, Carter Vickers just coming back from injury just in time to start the league. Starfelt looks like he's off. Johnston, he's injured. And I think Greg Taylor was injured for a while as well. Naroki, probably needs some time to bed in. He's going to be Starfelt's replacement. But I think he made a good first impression. And obviously the elephant in the room, Joe Hart. Oh, sorry. Joe Hart, the bomb scare. So I'm amazed Celtic haven't got another goalkeeper in, but there's still time yet in the transfer window. Attacking wise, Turnbull had five shots on target, which is huge. Scored two of those. He also missed two big chances, so his brace wasn't just luck. For O'Reilly, he had three shots on target. He was also the top assister in the game last season. He made three key passes and created one big chance as well. Kyogo managed to better that with four key passes and two big chances created. So last season, Kyogo didn't assist very much. Perhaps under Rodgers, he might be chipping in with more assists this season. So something to monitor and keep an eye on. Abada came off injured. Managed to walk himself off. So I think he'll probably be all right for next game week. But if he is out, then it could be an easy switch to Turnbull or O'Reilly. Need to get sorry, injury news probably on the Friday night. For James Brown, he scored the Ross County second. He's a cheap starter. He's only 2.3 million in the game, so nice cheap enabler there. Can't really comment too much on Ross County, but I thought they looked good. And I've got Simon Murray as well on my bench, so I'll be keeping a hold of him for the foreseeable and see how he can do. What was your thoughts on the game, Peter?
Glad we're winning, first of all, as a Celtic fan, but I thought it was a really scrappy affair. I think we're anywhere near our best. Start with the fantasy aspect, but Ross County, I think I've said this every season since they've been in the league. If they play like that most weeks against other teams, they'll have no issue at all staying safe, but they just don't seem to keep that intensity up. Good, maybe some cheap assets there. I mean, I've got James Brown as well off the bench, so he's staying in my team, as you said, 2.3 million. That's good. I'm assuming he's going to up a point this week. And they're playing home at St Johnstone, so it's a good fixture. Simon Murray, I swayed about having him. He was in between, but I went for the Japanese lad from Hearts, Taganawa, I think. Taganawa? I went for him instead, a cheap striker, see if he starts to become a first-choice striker for them. Celtic-wise, I've totally avoided defence. I don't see... I'm not holding much hope in clean sheets until they start improving that. Or Jones comes back, because I don't think in this style of football possession-based, with the full-backs kind of bombing forward rather than inverted... Ralston and Taylor just didn't cut it. And you mentioned Joe Hart, who looks like he's just a year or two older. Just a bit, he looked like me, like when we were talking about Alan McGregor at the tail end of 2 seasons ago. And then last season, where just his age got up him. Great keeper on his day, but a wee bit slower looking, reacts a wee bit slower off the pace. It's like Football Manager, where you're looking at it, at his stats, with all wee red arrows going down one at a time, two at a time. So until that is impressed, improved upon, I would be staying away in Celtic's defence. Kyogo, yep, was great as always. I went for Turnbull, so I lucked out in that one, 14 points, but it was a match by O'Hara, so I didn't really steal a match that much. If Abada is injured, I think that lets me move towards maybe a Mark O'Hara or a Boyle if he fixtures turn good. And that's about it. If he's fit, it keeps him a team, but we'll get to these players we'll get next game. So I'm quite happy with them. Any Celtic midfield looks good. Maybe Cal McGregor's not a pick. The wingers are decent. The two up front. I don't know if Turnbull and O'Reilly will be the same team going forward. I don't even know if they'll play both of them against Ali the Rape Tawdry. I think that'd be quite a hard sell to use the three midfielders and hopefully control the game. Hatate came on, and I think we did have more possession control after that. So if he's not on the move, which I think he might be, if he plays, it could be at the probably Turnbull or O'Reilly drop him out. And both of them had good returns, so I don't know who would drop out unless you change formations lately again, but that's something we need to watch and see.
Next game up, we've got Dundee 1, Motherwell 1. For Dundee, it was Lyle Cameron that scored with an assist from Luke McCowan. For Motherwell, it was Thelonious Bear with an assist from Stephen O'Donnell. Newly promoted Dundee came straight back up, having been relegated the season before. It was a fairly even game stats-wise. Dundee had a lot more shots, but less on target. There was no single player in this particular fixture that had more than a single shot on target. Not really any standouts. One thing that did stand out, though, was Spittle got the 3 bonus points. I'd imagine that was for his underlying activity. He did make 4 key passes. It'd be nice if he became Motherwell's bonus magnet. Yes, obviously Van Veen, big shoes to fill, and I don't know if Motherwell are going to get as many goals. In terms of Motherwell's fullbacks, I went Soari just because he was 0.1 cheaper and budget was tight. But I'm wondering if O'Donnell is going to be the sort of preferred fullback, chipping in with more assists. I think he got more assists in pre-season. So if I can free up some funds, I could make a sideways move if there's nothing else too pressing at some point. For Dundee, there was no standouts. However, Owen Beck, he's a very cheap starter as well at 2.5 million, so a cheap enabler. However, I don't know how many clean sheets Dundee are going to get, and I'm not too sure. But if you still want to fill the bench, then he's nice and cheap as well. I probably prefer James Brown. He's 0.2 cheaper, and he's already got a goal, so he would be my number one sort of cheapie just now. Anything to add on that one, Peter?
No, I didn't see the highlights. I was travelling, so this is just on your basis. But Beck was one of the players I had in and out a few times because he was kind of nailed, cheap enabler. If Dundee can show a bit of form, I suppose he'd be a good one to bring in. But like yourself, I think Brown's the one I'm going to go with. What would you say about Suave you were cutting up? Is he not guaranteed first choice? Is he coming in and out of the team?
No, it was just in terms of assists. O'Donnell seems to be getting more assists. He assisted the goal in this game.
What price is O'Donnell in this game? Is he a couple?
He's only 0.1 million more expensive.
Right, and he's probably more nailed because he's more experienced. So it's one to watch, yeah. It would be. Hey, Miller, the one we'll talk about pre-season as well, a young lad that was priced at 2.5 midfield. He played, so I think he's a starter until otherwise. I don't know if he played well or not. We need to actually watch more. I'm going to watch at least after the podcast. No, it's not ideal, but obviously we didn't have a chance to do it. But he's just a cheap enabler for me if he's going to keep on playing, because I believe the Liverpool fans think he's fantastic. So his age is a thing, but he's only 16. So you imagine with that age, he's going to be managed. He's not going to play week in, week out. He'll be bringing it to the team maybe when it's tough away games to bring somebody else in. But I don't know if I've got players ably there to replace him. But until then, there's still some cheapies in both these teams, so it is sort of keep an eye on. We'll be watching, obviously, when the stats come through and the points, we'll see the players and who's got good runs. And we're going to try to, because you're at one point, you're going to try to get as many the best players in as you want. And as I didn't realise, the actual game had went back to complete basics, so it's not like any tackling points or shots on target points. I didn't know they dropped that to the actual first game, I thought it was still part of the game.
Yeah.
So, it does make differentials probably less important. You don't want to just load up with template players if that's going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought to that game.
Yeah. Next up with the 3 o'clock Saturday fixtures, we've got Livingston 0, Aberdeen 0. Aberdeen ended last season with a fantastic defensive run. They started the new season with a clean sheet, so that's good to see. However, they were quite attacking last season, so I was surprised to see 0 shots on target in this fixture from Aberdeen. The Duke and Miovski both had prolific spells in front of goal last season, and they're appropriately priced this season, so I've got neither in my team just now because the budget just wouldn't stretch. Though looking at Aberdeen's pre-season fixtures, they didn't really have much of a pre-season, so it may take some time to kind of get back up to speed from that perspective. Devlin and Slobodan Rubicic are the cheapest starting Aberdeen defenders in this fixture at 2.8 million. The latter, Slobodan, getting 3 bonus points, so he's one to watch there. For Livingston, Obalai was responsible for one of Livingston's 2 shots on target and missed a big chance. He did get a clean sheet. I had them in my team, but unfortunately, to free up funds, I took him out for 2.3 million Tom Parks, who
it was me.
Never, Yep, never got a sniff,
Nope.
so never mind. Aberdeen face Celtic next game week, so that gives us a second look at them before we have to make any decisions based on them. For Livingston, they don't have much of a budget and they seem to be operating on a shoestring this season. So I think they'll probably have to be organised at home. They do seem to be lacking a bit of firepower. Obviously, Bruce Anderson's gone. So it might be clean sheets and nil nils might be the order of the day in order to keep Livingston up for another season. So perhaps looking at investing in a starting defender might be a shrewd move. What do you reckon, Peter? Do you think you're going to get rid of Tom Parks?
He'll need to go, but this week they're playing Rangers away, so I don't think I'd be interested in taking him on. What I'm going to do is another week of. I want to roll the transfer. You had a Toppoli in that, Tom, so I picked the same. I want to roll. So I've got Devlin on my team because I think Devlin's going to be pretty nailed. You made a comment last week. I think you didn't think he's going to be maybe that attacking, so we need to keep an eye on that. And so I want to watch one more week information and see who's more nailed for Livingston, I think, because I think I do want the cheapest, probably nailed defender on the team. I've got some money in the bank, so if Park's not playing again, I think it's an easy sidestep to Obolai or who else in there. I think the other guy's foreign name, Lucluso or something like that. I can't remember how you pronounce it, but he's in there as well. So if these guys play week in, week out, and they're going to be in the team, and like you said, their budget's smaller, their squad's a bit more tighter, maybe youth, so probably guys who weren't enabled and they'll be bench strip players. So as again, I'll just watch one more week of both these teams and see who's the cheapest place to bring in, because I'm not getting Aberdeen either. Apart from the defender, and I've also got that fear that Duke or Miosga especially, because I agree with highly owned, but casuals might go nuts one week and then you're left behind.
True, very true. Our next fixture then is St Johnstone nil, Hearts 2. It was Oda that got the first goal, and then the second goal was Shankland with an assist from Boyce in the dying minutes of the game. St Johnstone, I'm just going to say, very much in a void just now. They had awful form in the League Cup. I think every pundit's predicted them to finish bottom or thereabouts. So there's no standouts in that team at all. Hearts were very attacking in this fixture. They had nine shots on target, and they probably would have had one eye on Europe as well to try to stay fit for that. Because obviously for Scottish teams, it is a big payday if they can get into the groups. But for Shanklin and Oda, they managed three shots on target each. Oda is 2.1 million cheaper than Shanklin, so he could be a bit more of a budget-friendly striker option and a route into the Hearts attack. So, one to keep an eye on there. It is a shame he's a striker and not a midfielder, but that's just the way it goes. Kingsley, thanks, one to watch as well. He made three key passes and created one big chance. It's a bit more expensive at 2.9 million. But it could be worth it if Hearts can improve on the poor defensive form of last season. So something to keep an eye on there. What do you reckon, Peter? Have you got any Hearts players in your team?
Clark, goalkeeper.
Oh yeah.
I had Kingsley in, and I had, I can't remember the other keeper. I think I went for Borich at one point because I thought Marshall was injured. Then I kind of jigged that about when I heard the news. I was like, right, okay.
Yeah.
I don't really like to spend a lot of money in defence. Hearts weren't trustworthy last year in defence, but if they haven't quite done, Hearts think Nate Smith might be a good manager. But if they can look tidy at the back, neater, then I think we're in with better. Once it settles again, Huddle's the most attacking the fullbacks. Probably go to that. Shanklin's the one that I think I'm going to fear most weeks. I'm not going to have him because he is quite good at turning most weeks. Even if he plays that deeper role, he still helps out. Again, you can't have them in your team, so you've got to take some sacrifices somewhere. So it's just keeping an eye on these players and watching the team news and seeing what's going to happen and deciding what came in. Shanklin would probably be the one I'd bring in. But then I'm going to have this new guy, the Tangawa. Probably murdering his pronunciation, his name. Is he going to become a first choice player? Is he going to be a striker? Is Shanklin going to be playing like 10 behind him, like with Ginelli last season? They've signed another striker, I believe, the Costa Rican boy, Kenneth. I think it was last night.
Right.
So they've got another player in. So where are these players all going to fit in with Europe as well? Also, they're qualified for Europe. It's going to be a case of just wait and see, but try to move when the right time and move at the same time. It would be a striker I'd probably be after. Because they're going to try to be the third force between them and Aberdeen. Well, most likely that's how it's going to finish. So you've got to get a piece of action if you can. Shanklin's highly owned. So every time Shanklin scores, obviously, you're going to be killed in the rank. With St Johnstone, I mentioned it. They've got a lot of cheap players, maybe enabling the team. I think they've got a 2.2 playing midfielder, Ballantyne. a couple of 2.4 defenders, but until you see something really coming from them in any sort of form, there'd be really no point in having these players on the team. They're just going to turn you 2 points every week. You'd rather spend that wee bit more for that Livingston player or maybe a Motherwell player who maybe get the chance of getting the freer point or assist or maybe the odd clean sheet. But apart from that, nah, that's it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Yep. And the next fixture then, Donny's lucky to be off this week because it was Kilmarnock 1, Rangers 0. Killie's goal came from Bradley Lyons. And it was a poor start from Rangers after their summer rebuild. There is lots of new players in there, so maybe it will take some time to gel. No player managed more than a single shot on target in this fixture. For Kilmarnock, they were well organised at the back, which is obviously typical style of Derek McInnes. They didn't get too many clean sheets last season, but now that he's had a summer and a sort of a fresh start with this season, perhaps they can return some clean sheets this season. Nadava, he's 2.4 million defender. He could be a great budget pick as well if they continue the defensive form. They do play Hearts away next game week, but then they do have a nice run up until game week 8 when they play Celtic. So the game against Hearts gives us an opportunity for a second look as well. If they keep a clean sheet in that fixture, then it might be a good move to make. It's too early to make any decisions on Rangers yet. I'd expect them to probably want to prove a point next game week against Livingston at Ibrox, but if they can't produce there, then it's going to be difficult to keep a hold of the Rangers players. Obviously, Cantwell was benched. I ended up switching the sort of funds around and getting Danilo because I was questioning if he does go crazy, how am I going to get there? And it was
because of price.
You're looking at 3 or 4 moves to get him, but at least with having him, any other striker is going to be a downgrade, which will free up funds. So I'm going to hold on for now and see how I get on. What's your thoughts with your Rangers players?
First, I need to get the Beal balls burst, Donny. Beal balls burst. That's too quick for knee jerk reactions. Kilmarnock, first of all, it was always going to be a tough game. They had 8 new players as well in their squad, so you can't say the Rangers excuses 8 new players. They both had 8 players. I don't know on a day. Kilmarnock look organised. They know their pitch better. Knew what they had to do. A big test next week, Hearts. So I'm what to watch next week and see what they look like. And if they look good against Hearts, then not piling in, but maybe start bringing in a couple of the cheaper defenders. Because McInnes has got this track record in the Scottish Premiership. Last season basically was a Championship team in the Premiership, but he seemed to have proved the squad just over a couple of windows, and now they look half decent. So it's what to watch for Kilmarnock. Rangers, I mean, we've all got 2 or 3 Rangers players. Most people have anyway. Captain Tav. I hope we do need to get them selling because I think they're going to also go to a point and try to home game. Livingston, they're going to try to kind of fight back and put a show on. Like you said, if they don't do it next home game, then you get to start questioning the Rangers players because I really don't get Beal's thinking, really, because his team last year, the last 9 months of the job, whatever the job, were quite a good hit ratio for wins and point returns and clean sheets and goals. And he seems to have ripped it all up and gone with a kind of new formation where he wants like maybe 2 up top and like 3 midfielders and no wingers and no pace, and it's like they're using the fullbacks at both in their 30s. I know Yilmaz is still to come back, and I found it quite strange. Donny will probably talk a bit more next week, but I find that a strange setup. And we'll see how it goes on, because it could gel, like you said, players need to gel, it could work, or it could go the total opposite. And for example, if they don't go through Champions League this next 2 weeks, then he's fighting up uphill battle, because the fans will start getting their knives sharpened. You know what it's going to be like in the goldfish bowl of Scottish football, especially in Glasgow. If you start a bad start, then there's kind of no coming back for it.
Yeah, difficult one to claw back. The Sunday fixture then was Hibs 2, St Mirren 3. Hibs' goals came from Lafondra with an assist from Doidge, and Doidge scored the second as well with an assist from Ellie Ewan. For St Mirren, it was O'Hara with the penalty. The second goal came from Olu Sanya with an assist from O'Hara, and then the third and the winner came from Grieve with an assist from Greg Kilty. O'Hara owners were laughing inside of 20 minutes in this fixture with the goal and assist. Donny called it. He was really keen on O'Hara, and he definitely returned in this fixture. I've seen Mandron, the St Mirren striker, in a lot of drafts on Twitter, but he wasn't in the squad. I'm not too sure what happened there. At 3.4 million, he's definitely... Olusanya at 3.4 million is definitely budget-friendly, but I don't know how long he's going to be in the starting 11. It was his only shot in the game and he scored, so could have just been lucky there. Greg Kilty assisted the third goal. He did well the season before last as a cheap enabler, but I feel he's less appealing. He's 3.8 million this season. I think you're probably better off just trying to find that extra 0.2 and going for O'Hara. For Hibs, perhaps they were distracted by Europe, but Doidge goal and assist is a decent return at 4.6 million. I think he's perhaps been overlooked in favour of Ellie Ewan, but he could go on to do well this season. Perhaps he's back to prove a point. Hibs obviously loaned him out to Kilmarnock for all of last season, and now he's back and in the starting 11, so a bit strange there. I don't quite understand that one. He already bagged a goal midweek in the European game, so I'll be keeping an eye on Hibs. They're playing this Thursday. They're at home to Luzerne from the Swiss Super League, so let's see how they get on there. They were defensively poor. Del Ferrier getting subbed at 29 minutes, as well as Josh Campbell. A lot of people have Josh Campbell. If that continues, then I think he's going to be out of my team. I'll probably be benching him this weekend, and if he returns, then ideal, and if not, then not a problem. He's probably going to be out of my team if he can't make at least 60 minutes per game. But he did well in pre-season, so perhaps it was just a one-off to prove a point. What was your thoughts on the sub-ins and the rest of the fixture, Peter?
Well, I thought still a match with the returnable points, but basically ended. O'Hara just basically matched it. So O'Hara is a priority for me to bring in shortly. I think in 1 more week I'll give him, maybe. If there's news on a bad or injured, I might just make a step to him straight away, and that's the user transfer. I obviously think my eye was on boil, but I think Donny's mentioned before, O'Hara's like the heartbeat of that midfield. He's on pens, a lot of set pieces, so he's probably one in. St Mirren looked like they started off the way they finished last season. Well, not finished, because they started to finish quite poor, but quite in the top six to last season. O'Hara looks like he's a better player. I saw these highlights, so I would probably like to bring him in. Definitely. I don't know the rest of the team. I'm just going to watch and see who starts playing more regularly. Strain's probably a no right now, because he's too expensive. He likes a Kingsley and Devlin are much cheaper. But with Hibs, I think you mentioned Dozier, but I think Lee Johnson came out and admitted that he got the wrong team, picked the wrong team. So I don't know if that means not playing like Ewan or playing other players. So we'll see how Hibs bounce back on Thursday against Luzerne. Talking about Europe, I think it matters, Tom, if they get through, because I've got Aston Villa in the playoff round. So I think Hibs' adventure will finish there, regardless. I think they're going to beat the Premiership powerhouse of Villa. Marshall came back in. A lot of people thought he was injured. There's nobody really I want for Hibs at all. I mean, we'll talk about Campbell 4 season. Lee Johnson seems to pick and chop and change his team all the time. We weren't in Hibs Twitter to have a look, and they're not happy straight away at the start of this season. They're not happy with his squad he's built, they're not happy with the team he's playing, they're not happy with the performances. So the knives are already starting to sharpen for Mr. Johnson straight away, so we'll see how long that lasts. They've got a good couple of fixtures at the start of the season, so they've lost the first one, but I think the run's quite good. Mentioned that last week, the week before, so they need to improve on it quick, or I think there could be another change in the Hibernian manager position dugout.
Yeah, another one. become the next Chelsea. Just to round things off then, we've got the continuation from last season, the top 10, just to give us an idea of who's in amongst points and what position to play, where we need to kind of direct our funds. The top three performers this week was O'Reilly at Celtic, O'Hara at St Mirren and Turnbull at Celtic, all three of which are midfielders and all of them scored 14 points. Coming in at fourth is Brad Lyons, the midfielder of Kilmarnock. He got 13 points. Kyogo, obviously the Celtic striker, 13 points. Doidge, the Hibs striker, and Oda, the Hearts striker, got 12 points. Slobodan Rubicic, defender, he got 9 points. Striker, Kingsley, the Hearts defender, got 8. There was a few players that scored 8. Mayo at Kilmarnock, Will Dennis, Theo Baer, and Olusana, but for the purposes of top 10, we're going for Kingsley, which gives us no goalkeepers, two defenders, four midfielders, and four forwards. So, goalkeepers, no surprises there. Very seldom did we have a goalkeeper in the top 10 last season, which is why we're kind of advocating in the sort of pre-season pods. There's no point in throwing any cash at that position.
Yeah, plus the same points are gone now, so it's just a matter of clean sheets all they get.
Yeah. And then defenders, it's early days at the start of the season. You know, players are still getting up to speed, but then not always expecting too many clean sheets. So no surprises that it's two defenders. And then obviously the bulk is coming from midfielders and forwards. But there's some big scorelines this weekend, so you really expect that. Anything to add there, Peter?
Just about out of the 10 names, I think 5 or 6 of them were kind of players you'd imagine for last season. So the template could be strong and casual straight away, so we'll have to wait and see game week 2 brings, game week 3 brings, up to obviously game week 4 with the derby is, and we'll see how that kind of forms, teams build that way, and we'll see how, if we can get up the ranks on that, and if people knee jerk. I'd imagine a lot of Rangers casual fans, sorry, not Rangers, a lot of players that are casual might think, oh, Rangers are rubbish after one game, start moving elsewhere. For example, if, if you're chasing the points, Mark O'Hara, who's St Mirren got the next home game?
Dundee at home in game week 2.
So that could be quite appealing if you are looking at that transfer-wise. I mean, that's something you'd want to move on, I think. So if Mark O'Hara does the same again this week, then it would be a case of he's good. Well, the only thing is he won't rise twice in price. He'll go 0.1 per week, so he won't be left behind that much. Right, we'll go to questions, Tom. I've only got a couple anyway, so we'll see. Seconds to load it up because the X not Twitter anymore. The X, and we've got two questions, and one's mostly a kind of comment. First up with a comment, Mark Quinn at Mark 74, get on a Saints player for Saturday. So, I'm assuming he's a Saints fan and he's quite confident. So, Mark, so we already kind of talked about him. I think Mark O'Hara's a one. If there's other players you might think are worth it, go for it. Right, two questions. First question is from Fry Seal at Fry Seal. Being able to chase teams up until kickoff, good thing or bad, Tom?
Probably a good thing, I'd say. A lot of teams are a bit late in getting their lineups out before the deadline from last season. The Dundee United kind of ring a bell, obviously not a concern this season, but it means you've got a bit more time rather than scrambling around. Maybe not as big an impact as last season, because last season, if you're playing multiple leagues, you'd have multiple teams to change. This year, it's better because obviously it's just the one team, but it gives you a bit more. You're under less pressure. You don't get sort of pressured into making moves you end up regretting, which often happens with me. So I reckon it's a good thing.
Me too, I agree. I also think it'll keep the casuals more engaged, because there's nothing worse if you're not really taking game semi-serious and you look at your app and there's 5 players not playing. That's enough to go, oh, I haven't given up this game. Whereas now you can look and go, all right, so-and-so is playing, so-and-so is not playing. And you can change your team accordingly. You've got roughly the full hour, because teams do drop. Sometimes you've got an hour 50 minutes, actually. Teams do drop. So you can set your alarm, look in, fix your team accordingly and get out. I like it. It's the same as Champions League. format with its real-time deadline. So I think it's a good thing, especially when you're going to have teams in Europe. And if Rangers and Celtic go into the group stages or whatever competition and go deep, there'll be rotation. So you'll be able to see it 9 times out of 10. We'll probably see one of the rotation, one of the teams, because they don't play in the same day or Sky TV games. But it gives you a better chance to manoeuvre without kind of killing your team. Right, the last question is from FPL Liga. It's FPL _ Liga. So it's Rangers. Well, Cantwell start the next match. If he doesn't, should we say that's his first question? So I'll go first, Tom. I think he's going to start next match. I don't think he'll make that mistake again, unless he's injured over midweek. But I think he's got to go with his strongest team against Livingston at home. Cantwell's the one I think has got a bit of spark so far I've seen in the midfield. It can do something. So I'd be very surprised if he's not playing. Your thoughts?
Yeah, he finished last season well, and Beale needs to kind of turn things around. So I would imagine he probably does start. He's probably took a bit of stick for benching him in the first place, I'd imagine.
Probably Europe in mind, to maybe think they could negotiate without using him, but obviously it backfired.
Yeah. So if he doesn't, then I'd imagine probably selling at that point. You can't have someone sucking up all that budget and not starting week in, week out. Yep, so if that was the case, then I think you should sell. But I don't think it is going to be the case. We'll have early team news anyway, because Rangers play at 3 o'clock on the Saturday. So you'll know before the deadline anyway. So just keep an eye out on your Twitter timeline. You should be all right.
Next up is questions of Celtic. Is Abada fit for the next match? Do you know anything, Tom?
I don't know yet, but we normally get Friday night. It's usually when they kind of summarise the press conferences. It's usually on the BBC website. Sky used to do it. I don't know if they still do. It's basically the same summary, cut and paste job.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye out on the BBC website Friday night, Saturday morning. And if it's been asked, then it'll usually be mentioned.
The fact that he walked off was a good sign, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah.
As you say, they normally do get the injury updates, you'll know a rough idea. And if they mention, they'd probably say who's missing, they would give the name. If not, then he's in the squad. And the next question is Turnbull a better option or wait and see? So the Turnbull situation, I think he had a good start. He's on tens. I think it would be hard to drop after that game. But also, wouldn't be surprised to see the team in its Hatatian for Turnbull, because it's at Pittodrie. Or do you think that's enough to keep him in for this game?
I think if you have Turnbull, you keep a hold of him. If you don't, then I probably wouldn't be making the sideways move based on one game week. I mean, if it turns out Abad is injured, then I think it probably is an easy sideways move to make. But other than that circumstance, I'd probably just hold off for another game week just to see what happens.
Right, okay. I'm having other issues, guys, so we're going to have to just move quickly on. I'm going to get you out. So, Tom, I'm just going to ask you quickly, captain, vice-captain, our transfer this week, and then we'll need to get out of here because I don't know how long this is going to last.
Captain Tav and vice-captain Kyogo. I'm not going to break the mould just yet based on the back of the weekend's results. I think Rangers at Livingston will be completely different to what we've seen at Kilmarnock, and Taverney's always in with the points, as we know from playing the game for several seasons. So that's what I'm sticking with for now.
Transfer or holding?
I tend to hold unless Abad is injured, in which case probably Abad at Turnbull would be the move.
Right, I'm exact same. Captain Tav, vice-captain Kyogo, and the transfer would be to Mark O'Hara if there's news been Cantwell not playing or Abad injured. Apart from that, I will hold for game week 3, and that gives you a bit of manoeuvring after that. Right, sorry guys, it's been a quick, sharp one, but my internet is playing up. So Tom, get your plugs in before we head out.
I'm at FFS _Scout on Twitter.
I'm at Fantasy Half. We'll see you again next week. Hopefully it'll be sorted. Right, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.